Reading tonight in Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to be there for a minute and we're going to go somewhere else for a minute. We're going to be all over tonight. So my message tonight is called, Are We Real? Are We Real? I put down in a world full of Instagram Christians and television preachers. Ooh, really good opening there. All right, but no, it's true. How many of you go online, go on Facebook or on Instagram, if you have it, and you see these Instagram Christians? Anybody see them? And what does it look like? It looks like they are absolutely perfect, doesn't it? Everything they do is just, wow. Everything we do magnifies God. Everything we do is just so God-honoring. And of course, it comes to find out, like, you know, 2 to 3 years later, you find out something about them that just wrecks everything they did. Okay, but no, that's what we see online. We see these internet Christians. And what I think is our young people maybe sometimes see this, and even we see this, and that's what we think our Christian life should be like. We think our Christian life should be just how those Instagrammers or those YouTubers or whatever, that's how we should live our lives. I think of it kind of like whenever a girl watches a romance movie, okay, and their whole mindset of what romance is from these movies that they watch, okay? I hate that because I'm so far away from that. I don't just buy flowers randomly or write notes. I'm not a note guy or letter guy, all right? But they get that in their head, and this is how romance is, and anything short of that is just, that's not romance. I think the same with boys and war movies. We romanticize war so much because we see it in the movies and it looks so cool, doesn't it? You get to haul a gun around and shoot bad guys all day. That looks so cool. The other day I saw a film of, I forget which war it was, and I was like, I would probably die in about 10 seconds if I was in actual combat. Okay, but in our minds we have an idea of what we think war is, or what we think romance is, or what we think the Christian life is. So I just wanted to go over quickly tonight. We're really good for time. It's only 6:16. There are some times whenever pastor's going, I'm like, it's 6:40 and we haven't even started preaching yet. So we're doing good. That means we're going to get out early. I don't know how everybody feels about that, but we're going to get out early tonight. So I wanted to go over, are we real Christians? And I just wanted to go over some points. Point number one is our love for others real? Is our love for others real? We're going to take a look there at Matthew 6, verse number 1. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no rewards of your Father which is in heaven. Right there at the beginning, it says, take heed. Now, who is saying take heed? Christ, Jesus. Whenever Jesus says take heed, which means listen, what do you think we should do? Listen. We should definitely listen to what he is about to say. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Now, this need to be seen is in every single man and woman, is it not? For some odd reason, we have this desire that we need to be seen, just like the Christian Instagrammers. They need to show people that how holy they are. All right? And this is it doesn't say Pharisees. I think it says that maybe later on. But we want people to look at us and go, wow, that Connor guy, he's not only good looking, but he also gives to the poor as well. You know, and wow, he just must be a really good Christian. Good looking and giving to the poor. That's what we want as humans. But also, let's read down in verse number 2. It says, therefore, is that verse number 2? Yeah. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Jesus is saying, don't make a spectacle of your giving. You know, we're not supposed to be like, hey, everyone, look at me. I have a story. I think everybody here has heard the story once or twice. But there was once a little boy down in junior church, and my dad said, I need somebody to run the offering basket for the boys. And this dude, whoosh, right away, and Dad said, come on up. I won't say his name. I don't think anybody, yeah. Anyways, he got up there, and Dad prayed, and he pulled out his wallet, and he said, I'm about to be very generous today. And he smacked a $5 bill in the offering. Okay? The Bible says not to do that. That is the opposite of what you are supposed to do. Jesus says that those who do this are hypocrites. Jesus then says that they have their reward. And of course, what is their reward? They get approval by man. But is there any approval by God in that kind of giving? The act of giving maybe was good, but what was their motive behind giving? That's what I'm going to talk about the majority of tonight is, what is our motive behind what we do? Like I said, the act of giving $5 is a good act. You know, he was a little boy. He didn't need to give that necessarily. So it was nice of him to do it. But what was he looking for? He was looking for all the other 10-year-olds to be like, wow, that dude's so cool. He gave $5. I don't even have $5. Where did he get $5? Okay, that's what he wanted. When we are helping others, who is our audience? Are you helping others for the praise of men or to please God? I'm going to use the example of the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the story of the Good Samaritan. There is a poor man who got robbed on his way. I forget where he was going, actually. Anybody know? Jericho. Okay, he was going to Jericho, and he got robbed, and all these people passed by. All these groups of people passed by. They looked at him. They went on the other side of the road, said, I ain't touching that dude with a 10-foot stick. You know, he's just going to have to fend for himself. Then the Good Samaritan came by and he helped him. There is nobody around watching him. There is nobody around for him to be like, look at me helping this man. He was doing it because he loved people and because he wanted to make God happy. Now, this is just a side point, but there are people all around us today who are not maybe physically in need of help. But there are people all around us who are spiritually in need of help. All right, and a lot of times, whenever we do our witnessing, it's all in church, right? Okay, we have Sunday school, we have classes that we do, we have the RU ministry. That's when we help people, okay, is in these ministries. But do we help people outside of these ministries spiritually? Okay, it's easy to be a witness and to tell others about what Christ has done and help them spiritually when there's a crowd of people there watching and being like, oh, wow, Connor's witnessing again. Good job. But a lot of times somebody comes and spills their hearts to you and you're like, yeah, I mean, that's nice, but I have something else to do. I'm running late for something. All right. Are we willing to tell others the gospel when there is no one looking? Do we only share the gospel at church? If we aren't sharing the gospel on our own without letting everyone else know about it, without it being public, then we need to look inward and recognize that we aren't doing it for God. We aren't doing it for Him. We're just doing it for ourselves. Okay? We just want the recognition of, hey, I shared the gospel today. Okay? And a lot of times our prayer requests are kind of like that. I'll get into this a little bit later, but a lot of times, you know, I'll pray for me. I witnessed to 10 people today. You know, and pray that one of them will receive it. I've shared with it before, and it just becomes a bragging session of, hey, you know, I'm sharing the gospel. I don't know about you, but I'm sharing the gospel. All right, so that's point number one. Do we really love people? Point number two is, are our convictions real? Are our convictions real, or do we have them just to look more spiritual? Turn over to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. We're going to look in verse number 2 there. It says, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man, which had the withered hand, stand forth, and he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save a life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when they had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now, John chapter number 9, I'll just read this one. It's a very similar story. And when it was Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. That's kind of crazy that they not only said that, they not only sought to destroy Jesus, but they said that this man was a sinner who just healed this man. They were so caught up in their conviction of the Sabbath day that they missed the miracle completely and sought to destroy Jesus. All because Jesus didn't go along with what they thought was right. Because Jesus didn't hold up to his standard. Okay? Now, I'm not here saying that we don't need to have biblical convictions. I think biblical convictions are great. Okay? If you come away with one thing, don't come away with Connor doesn't want us to have convictions. Okay? They're good. I'm trying to say that if we hold a standard, okay, or I should say, standards don't equal spirituality. All right? I feel like we look at people who have super high standards, and what do we automatically think of them? Those are good Christians right there. Okay? They only wear skirts all the way down to the floor. They don't say cuss words. They don't say the replacement cuss words. Okay? They don't even say those. Okay? They don't go to movies. They don't do any of this stuff. Those are some good spiritual Christians. Okay, but do standards equal spirituality? No. Okay, standards do not equal spirituality. God often used the Pharisees as a bad example, but on the outward, the Pharisees looked like they were the holiest people around, didn't they? They were known to be the holiest. They were the people who you went to if you had questions biblically. Those were the people you went to, but Jesus still used them time and time again of, hey, don't be like these people. These people are not right. And then the reason was because it was all a show. Everything they were doing was a show. And a lot of what we look at today, if somebody's not dressed the way we are, okay, we kind of take offense to that. If somebody's not dressed the way we are, it's easy for us to look down at people who don't have the same dress standards as we do, right? We take pride in how we look, which is kind of a bad thing sometimes. All right, we don't drink alcohol. We can look down on people that don't drink alcohol. Okay, which I agree with all of these standards. I'm not saying I don't agree with these standards. I'm just saying sometimes we take these standards and we put them on such a high pedestal that is our spirituality. Our standards are our spirituality. This is really big going around now. Okay, this whole legalism thing, or legalistic thing, to where if you have standards, you're legalistic. If you have no standards, what's the opposite of legalistic? Liberal, right? I think so. I don't know. What's the opposite of legalistic, Dad? You're my thesaurus.
Unlegalistic.
Very nice. All right? But no, every time you go on Facebook, it's like we're healing from the legalistic religion we came from and a bunch of garbage. Well, can I say that maybe you had these standards and your motives weren't right? Your motives were having standards to be spiritual. Okay? You have standards to please God because you believe that's what God wants you to do. We all have convictions, but they should be motivated by pleasing God rather than receiving praise of men. God doesn't just hand out badges for whoever has the highest standards. Okay? He does not care about that. What he cares about is if we're humble about it. All right? I often think of some Christians as, what's their name off of Little House on the Prairie? No, the Nellie, that's the one. What's the one episode where she's like, country, what did she say, country girls? Country girls. Okay, that's how some Christians are like to those who don't hold their standards. Okay, we're just like, oh, you guys aren't as good as us. You know, and that's how we act. But God does not care about our standards. He cares about our heart. So we went over, what was my first point? Is our love for others real? Are our convictions real? Is our prayer life real? Look at Matthew 6 again. Turn over to Matthew 6 again. We're going to look at verse number 5 this time. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. All I get from that is prayer is not something that should be a show." And then turn over to Luke 18 real quick. Luke 18, Luke chapter number 18, verse 10. It says there in verse number 10, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" What was that Pharisee doing that whole prayer? Praising himself. All right, the Bible even says there that it says he prayed thus with himself, meaning that he was not talking to God. He was literally there just standing, mind you, which what was the other one doing? The other one was kneeling, looking at the ground. This one was standing and pounding his chest, basically saying, "I am so good. I am disciplined enough that I fast twice a week. I give to the poor. Thank goodness I'm not like these other sinful men," as this guy right here. It became a bragging fest. Now, if he was doing those things, like I said, if he was giving, if he was fasting, those are good things to do, but what was his motive? Was his motive to please God, or was his motive to get praise of others? In contrast, we see in verse number 13, it says, "And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful unto me, a sinner.'" Okay, God has more respect for you if you are humble. If you humbly pray and say, "God, I am a sinner." God doesn't want you up there bragging about yourself. God's not going to answer your prayers. However, in comparison to God, we can only ever look humble and realize what we are. In verse number 14, it says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." All right, so God gave us a contrast there between how not to pray and how to pray. All right, now I'm going to go on in verse number 6 of Matthew 6. Where was that verse 14 at? Was that in Matthew 6? I don't have the reference there. I thought that was verse 14. Oh, that was, okay, gotcha. We're back in Matthew 6:6 now. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." All I'm getting from this is prayer is a personal conversation between you and God. It is personal. Now, I don't disagree with public prayers. All right, public prayer is great. I'm not saying that it is bad. But we see God constantly putting the focus on praying in the closet or in secret. That is where prayer is meant. It's a one-on-one conversation. I want you to think about this. Imagine talking to your wife, but only talking to her in public. All right, how would those conversations be? Would you be able to tell her everything you want to? Would you be able to tell her, you know, all the things that went on in your day? Would you be able to tell her how much you love her? Okay, that's awkward. Sometimes I'm on the phone and there are people around me, and Joel's like, "Love you," and I'm like, "Love you too." And I, you know, hang up. Well, I also work with a bunch of guys who tease me a lot, so that's maybe, I have a phobia of that. But just imagine that whenever you prayed, Or whenever you talk to your wife, everybody was listening. Okay, could you have a deep conversation with your wife if everybody was listening? No. Same way with when we pray. When we pray in a group, what is your mind thinking when you pray in a group? Well, everybody is thinking about your prayer. Whenever I pray in a group, this is so sinful of me, and this message is for me, I hope you know that. Whenever I pray in a group, I think, does everybody here think that I'm spiritual? If I pray long enough, if I say the right things, if I pray for the right people, all right? Every time I stop praying, something in my mind is like, do they think I'm spiritual? I don't know. And then like one time I've prayed and I was like, that was a really good prayer. Man, everybody here must think I'm the spiritual giant. Is that the right motive for praying? Who are we praying to? Are we praying to everybody in the crowd? Or are we praying to God? We're praying to God. And a lot of times our prayer can become an act to where we just give off what we've done through the week. And we just say, oh, God, thank you so much for giving me an amazing week. And everybody's listening. And you have 5 to 10 minutes just to brag about your day. That's what prayer can become. Is that actual one-on-one prayer with God? Or is that bragging about your day? Is that bragging about what you're able to accomplish? Prayer is a personal conversation between you and God. I oftentimes think that we forget about what God thinks about prayer. That's the only way we get to talk to Him, is through prayer. All right? And just like the whole wife thing, would the only time you want to talk to God is when everybody's around? Or talk to your wife whenever everybody's around? No, you'd want to talk to her in private and tell her how you actually feel. Are we using Him to be spiritual, or do we have a deep secret relationship with Him that no one else knows about? Okay, we don't brag about it. We don't brag about how much we pray and how much things we do. We don't talk to others about our secret prayer life. It's just you and God alone. That's all prayer is. You and God. Nobody else needs to know about your secret personal prayer life. It is between you and God. So we talked about, is our love for others real? Is our convictions real? Is our prayer real? And now lastly, I want to talk about, is our service to God real? Is our service to God real? Turn over to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, verse 27. Can anybody tell me off the top of the head what Luke 15 is about? Nobody? Huh? Nice. And the lost sheep, I think. Very good. Prodigal and the lost sheep. We're going to be looking at the prodigal tonight, real quick. Well, actually, we're not going to be looking at the prodigal. We're going to be looking at the brother of the prodigal. Verse 27 in chapter 15. Verse 27 in Luke chapter 15. It says, "And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." I always put myself in the brother's spot here. Imagine your brother going off, living a riotous life. He spent it on harlots and wasted his money on alcohol and everything else. Just imagine being that brother. We're hard on the brother, but put yourself in the brother's shoes here. All right, so they killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time, thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." All right, now the son who stayed home says that he never transgressed his father's commandments. All right, but was he motivated by love for his father? Seemed like all he wanted was he wanted to live the life that his brother was living. To me, kind of seems like that. He goes, why don't you give me the fatted calf? He goes off and lives this horrible life for I don't know how long, comes back and kills the fatted calf. I've been serving you and you haven't given me nothing. You haven't given me anything. You haven't killed nothing for me that I could eat and party with my friends. So he was not motivated by love. All right, he wanted blessings from his father. Do we serve God expecting him to bless us and lift us up publicly, or are we satisfied with heavenly rewards? All right, a lot of times our rewards are not going to come here on this earth. We're going to be rewarded in heaven. But a lot of times we serve God because we want to be lifted up. All right, again, this goes back to what is our motives? All right, do we volunteer at church expecting to be praised by pastor? I'm guilty of this one. All right, every time I mow the yard, I expect him to be like, wow, Connor, that is some fantastically cut grass. You know, the edging is just, mwah. Okay? And whenever he does it, I'm like, well, you can get somebody else to cut the grass. Okay? Do we volunteer to be praised, or do we volunteer because we actually want to help? Do we take on ministries at church and, you know, go the extra mile because we actually want to help out or because we want to be recognized? You know, we have this thing in our head to where, oh, he's in three ministries. I'm only in one. You know, he must just be more special than I am. And the more ministries, the better. All right? Again, more ministries doesn't equal spirituality. But what I'm saying is, are we serving God to be recognized by our fellow church members, to be recognized by our pastor, to have him stand up here and be like, wow, I really like the way Lissy plays the piano. Thank you so much for that, Lissy. Or are we playing the piano, which I can't, are we playing the piano because we just want to serve God? Okay, a lot of times we also worry so much, don't we, about what people are thinking. Right now, I'm worried about what you guys are thinking because I'm like, am I doing a good job or am I doing a bad job? All right, that's all we think about is what others are thinking. Instead, we should be thinking, how can I serve the Lord? How can I please God the way that I should? But we get so wrapped up into, I want to be recognized. I'm not going to lie. I want people to come up to me and say, like, Connor, that was the best message I've ever heard in my entire life. You know, you should go pro at preaching. Okay? Is that the right motive for preaching? No, that's not the right motive for preaching. The right motive for preaching is, hey, this is what God gave me out of his word, and I'm sharing what I got. This message is really for me. That's what preaching is sharing what God has given you about yourself. All right? How I got off on that, I don't know. What are our motives? We often judge people's spirituality by how eloquently they pray or how often they serve in ministry. We also judge them how much time they spend at the altar. That's a big one. How much time do you spend at the altar? Or how high of standards they hold. However, being a Christian is not about being seen here on earth. Being a Christian is a humble service to God and to God alone, driven by our genuine love for him and appreciation for all that he's done for us, because he is worthy of real love and not pretend love. All right? Like I said at the beginning of my message, it's easy to be an Instagram Christian because they get to film themselves, do the spiritual thing, and then they're done. All right? It's not easy being a true Christian every day. And a lot of times, we look at someone, we look at those people, and we say, man, I am a failure because I'm not like those people. And it's easy to get down on yourself. It's easy to be, I'm a failure. But if we are serving God because we love him, if we're loving others the way we should, if we're having a genuine prayer life that is not a showy prayer life, it's not a look at me, if we are praying to God because we love him, because we want to serve him, that's easier said than done, isn't it, if we do all those things, All right? Because, as I said, we all have that need to be seen. And obviously this message was for me because I have that desire to be seen. I want people to look at me and I want them to think how spiritual I am. And that's just not what a Christian should be. A Christian is a servant. Are servants supposed to be seen? Absolutely not. All right, maybe to be seen while they're bringing your food or something. You know, I don't know. But a Christian is not to be seen. He's just there for whenever the master needs him, he's there to do whatever he's told. No matter what the master wants, you're there for him, ready to go. The servant does not get any recognition. You are just a servant to do the bidding of your master. That's what we are, and that's how we should act. Servants, if they were to act like the master, how would that turn out for him? Not very well. He wouldn't be that person's servant very much longer. I ask if we are real Christians, if we're real in our Christian faith, or if we're just showing off to get people to look at us. That is my question for you tonight. I'll ask you to stand to your feet, if you will.